Welcome to the seventh fivefold conference. I'm so excited about our time together today. I believe God's going to speak to us, and a lot's happening in God's kingdom right now in His church, and He's releasing messages to take us into the glory. And it's so vital that we hear what He has to say in these transitional times. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2 with me, and we've established verse number 1 as our foundational verse for the conference. They're free to anybody's free, especially Pastor Callahan, to change if he wants to, but this is what I'm starting with today. Amen. Verse number 1 says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." We're in a time of great transition, great challenge. Things are happening at a high speed. And when they are, there's the opportunity to get busy doing things and leave off some of our spiritual disciplines. And I believe the writer of Hebrews is letting us know that when challenged with higher workloads and higher responsibilities, you can't let certain things slip. And so I want to talk about, at least in this conference, about holding on to what we've learned in the past. And so I want to lay out just a chart starting out today, in my mind, what it means to let something slip. Because a lot of people would say, we don't want to let things slip. Well, you know, I just don't want to stop being a nice person. You know, I don't want to lose control of my diet or my reading program to read through the Bible in a year. And I believe there's more to it than that. Amen? And so I want to write this up here to begin with. And I'm going to make a chart. And I know everybody said, "Praise God, he's going to charts." Can you see that okay? We'll make this time. And down here, I'm going to call this Kingdom of God. And down here, when we began, when we were born again, we lived in the natural realm, right? So we'll call this point natural. And we as kingdom citizens spend time learning about God's kingdom, learning about God. And so as we're advancing in time, we start learning about spending time in the Word. So we take a stair step. We're learning about the Word. And then we learn about prayer life. We learn about the giftings and anointings. And we start learning lessons about even internal change, all the way up that we can get to God's glory up here. And so all of these steps I'm showing here, I believe, list things that we're advancing further into living out of God's kingdom. We're learning to live by faith, how to believe God for our resources. But there's a danger as we get busy and even as we start to prosper that we don't feel like we need our faith as much. We feel like, well, I have money in the bank, I can use that, and I know how to do these things in the church, I can do that. And we start to slip in using our knowledge of kingdom principles or even in being involved in kingdom activities. So to me, to slip is to start to slide backwards in these things which we have heard, these things which we have learned. And all of a sudden, maybe we're not praying as much, not spending as much time in tongues, not spending as much time in the Word, not spending as much time believing God for His provision or as giftings or as anointings. And even number 1, we're not spending as much time in communion with Him. We start going through the motions instead of having this relationship with God that Jesus shed His blood for us to have. And that's a dangerous place to be. In fact, that's the spirit of religion creeping in and trying to squeeze the true life out of us as Christians. And so I believe that we've got to be careful in these end times because we're there. Not to become lovers of our own selves, as some would be, right? But to make sure we hold the things we learned from the beginning. Be people of the supernatural. People of relationship. People of divine purpose and involvement. Amen? Now, turn with me now to 2 Corinthians. Let me get my notes out here. That would probably help. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And look at verse number 7. It says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, how many know faith is a supernatural operation, right? As you abound in faith and utterance, what you say, death and life is in the power of the tongue, in knowledge, talking about not just natural knowledge, but knowledge of the supernatural, knowledge about the kingdom, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Now, when he says in this grace also, he's talking about what he's been discussing in chapter 8 and 9, and he's talking about a grace to give. Amen. A supernatural impartation of God that enables you to give beyond what seems reasonable to the normal mind. But he says, there are six things here I need you to abound in, right? Now, if Paul says we need to abound in these, then I think these are things we shouldn't let slip. These are things that we should target in these end times, right? And so faith, what you say, love are all important. But I want to focus this morning on the word diligence. Diligence. Now, when normally we think of the word diligence, I think about aggressively doing the same thing over and over again. Do you follow me? In other words, I know of people that have worked for 30 years at the same job, and they may say they never missed a day. They were diligent in going to that job, right? Or that some people go to the gym, bless their darling hearts. And they're diligent. They go to the gym three times a week. You know, maybe they're diligent with their diet. And I have been at times in the past, and sometimes I haven't been. But how many know, occasional diligence is not diligence, right? I'm still off sugar. What I'm getting at is diligence we normally think of doing the same thing repeatedly despite opposition. But as I was studying this verse sometime back, and I've taught on this in this church before, I looked up this word diligence in the Greek, and I was surprised at what the definition meant. And it gave all new meaning to several scriptures to me. In fact, that word diligence in the Greek is the word spoude, S-P-O-U-D-E, and straight out of Bible Hub, it says it's from the word spudo, to move quickly, to speed on, properly swiftness, to show zealous diligence, to show one's best, full effort by making haste. Now again, according to Bible Hub, I'm reading straight out of their definition. For the believer, spoude, speedy diligence, means quickly obeying what the Lord reveals is His priority. In other words, true diligence biblically is not just being diligent to do the same thing repeatedly, but with God, it means to obey Him rapidly. Do you follow me on this? This elevates the better, still according to Bible Hub, the better over the good, the more important over the important, and does so with earnest swiftness and intensity. In other words, we can get so busy with the cares of this world. Remember in the parable of the sower? The thorny soil, the thorns came up and it choked out the word and became unfruitful. And one of those aspects of the thorns were that the cares of this world, cares of this life, and we get so busy, it chokes out our time with God. And what happens is it can start to choke out our speedy obedience. Now, I'm going to look at something in a minute to show you the importance of obeying God quickly to go where we need to go. Amen. But now we recognize diligence with God is not always doing the same thing, because you can be religious and do the same thing repeatedly. You can always go to church. You can have your devotional every day. You can, even have some confessions you make every day. A whole list of things you can be diligent about. But with God, it goes beyond that. It goes into a relationship with Him that you hear Him. So this requires a communion with God, a relationship with God. And when you hear Him, you do it rapidly. I've been listening to quite a few messages lately by men and women of God that I admire for the anointing they carry and for the relationship with God that they have and for just the love of God they walk in. In fact, Apostle Callahan has introduced us to some of these this year with Heidi Baker and others that you look at their life and what they're doing, how many people they're raising from the dead and the churches are birthing and the miracles they're seeing, and we're going, I want that. And when I see something I want to know what are the characteristics or traits these people have that let them access that in their life. And the one thing, I think the one characteristic I've recognized in many of these I've heard is spude. Rapid to hear and obey God. If God says to go to this country, you go to that country. Well, I don't have enough money. God didn't say anything about money. He said, go. If God says to sow this, well, I can't afford that. Obey rapidly. Whatever God tells you to do, you do it as quick as you can, because the quicker you can do one thing, the quicker you can hear the next commandment. The quicker you can move on to the next item God has for you. Now, let me look at a few scriptures here, show you a few scriptures that deal with the word spude in the Bible, so you're not just taking my word for it. We have the Bible or the scriptures to back us up. Turn to Luke chapter 1. I forgot to hit the timer. How long have I been going? Well, until I hit the timer, the time doesn't count. No way. Don't be exaggerating on me. Okay, that's better. Let's mark it down to 7. Let's cut it in half. Luke chapter 1. Now, Luke chapter 1, we know that the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, right? And says, you're going to conceive a child. And she says, how is this going to happen to me? Well, the Spirit of God is going to come on you and you'll be with child, right? And the angel says, even your cousin Elizabeth is now expecting a child. Well, see, Mary at that time had no way to know that. So for her to believe this angel, it's going to help her to make sure that Elizabeth is actually expecting to confirm what the angel said, right? So if we go over to verse number 39, the angel Gabriel is now left. It says in verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, spude, to a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And here she gets her confirmation. Even the baby jumps in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth begins to prophesy, right? So it says with spude, hasty, rapid, speedy obedience, Mary gets up and gets this confirmation. Again, what I'm getting at is where we've read diligence many times in the Word, we've interpreted it with our normal English interpretation of diligence. But now we want to take this into beyond just being disciplined doing the same thing repeatedly, but it actually means to obey God with rapidity. Amen. A lot of people are not proclaiming it's not so important that you obey God. That would be legalism. But I'm here to tell you, if you want to go to the glory, it's mandatory you be a person of biblical diligence, right? Jude chapter 1. Now, I'm convinced Jude was written right before Revelation, placed right before Revelation in Scripture for a purpose. I believe it's an end-time book. Amen? And it's talking of an apostasy would rise up at the end times, and people would become lovers of their own selves versus lovers of God, and they would believe that they can do what they want and God can't see it. In other words, they would turn the grace of God to lasciviousness, right? Verse number 4. I want to go to verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence, see the word diligence? Hasty obedience to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. He says here, I had to write you speedily to protect the truths of the gospel, because men are coming and trying to pervert the word of God, pervert the truths we know of the kingdom of God, right? So here we see spoude, meaning to do something quickly, rapidly. One more verse on this. Mark chapter 6. And Mark chapter 6, Herod wants Herodias to dance. I guess it was the daughter of Herodias, wanted her to dance for him and offered him up to half of his kingdom if she would do so. And verse number 25, based on the recommendation of her mother, it says, "And she came in straightway with haste, spoude, unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." Here we see with spoude, the daughter of Herodias went in and asked for the head of John the Baptist, meaning quickly. So what I want you to see is this word diligence in Scripture in the New Testament is more than just doing the same thing repeatedly. It means to obey or to do with haste. Now, that being said, turn to Romans chapter 9. This is a verse that we've been to a lot, but I believe it's so applicable for today. Romans chapter 9, verse 27. Isaiah, it would be Isaiah, also crieth concerning Israel, "Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved." Now, how many know the children of Israel coming out of Egypt were great in number, but only two adults went into the promised land? Well, here he's also prophesying this is true for the end times. There's a number of people that would call themselves Christian, but not everybody, I believe, is prepared to go into the glory. And we'll leave it right there. Not everybody's positioned themselves to go into the glory of God. And some are going to be left behind wondering what happened. He says, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." Now, the word work there in the Greek is the word logos. What does logos mean? The word. He's saying, "I'm going to finish the word." Now, we already know the word of God is complete, isn't it? And we have the whole canon of Scripture. So this can't be talking to us about completing the canon of Scripture. He's talking about finishing the prophetic declarations of the Word. The Word paints a picture of from beginning to end, and it tells us not what just has happened, but it tells us what's going to happen. And it tells us about the glorious church coming into manifestation. The wealth of the wicked being transferred to the righteous. Of course, the rapture, the tribulation, the end times, the millennial reign, it's all contained in the prophetic declarations of the Word. And God said He's going to accelerate or cut it short, meaning do it quicker than thought possible, through the revelation of righteousness, that we are not just failed human beings, but we're new creations in Christ, right? We're made the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. But the point I want to make is He's accelerating things in the end times. He's doing it quicker and quicker. And the point I want to make is He can't speed up things in our life regarding our development for the glory unless He can speed up our obedience unto Him. If God can't speed up our diligence, our spoude, He can't get us to where He wants us to be. Because if it takes you 3 days to obey a simple directive of God, and you're on hold until the next one comes along, how can He advance us very far? Or if we've got to lay out 15 fleeces and wait for 12 confirmations to do what God says. I'm convinced one of the main lessons He's teaching us now is accuracy in hearing His voice. Knowing quickly, this is God leading me. knowing how to recognize the anointing, confirming what God would have you do or what He's telling you to do. Do you follow me? To speed up our ability to obey Him to go into this glory. Now, I had the honor, the opportunity to be raised, I guess, to work in a company that dealt with computers. And I remember way back in the early days, in the late 70s, early 80s, the first personal computers that came along. 1981, the IBM PC was introduced. Two floppy drives, no hard drive, and a processor that was like a boat anchor. But we thought it was phenomenal. Look what this thing will do. Look how fast it will add up this column of numbers. You know, you put 50 numbers up and hit sum, and wow, that quick. And we were amazed at what it would do. But since that time, they've developed new processor after new processor, new computer technique after new computer technique, new RAM, links between the drives, multiple processors linked together. And they so advanced our capability in computing. Now, I want to put up a chart. Pastor Rebecca, if you can put up this chart. I was trying to find some information about advancements in computer processing. I remember back in the early 80s, I had a job, really mid or late 80s, I guess. I had a job where I had written and had to run some massive spreadsheets, some programs that did assembly line simulations, approximate workload, cost of products and such. And these were fairly large sheets at the time. And they were so large that on the computers we had, I would have to tell it to run or execute and wait until the next morning to get my results. Before I left for work, I would say run. And the next morning, I'd come in and find out what it said. And take another half a day to print it all out because the printers were so slow. The Pro Printer, IBM Pro Printer, dot matrix. Now they just shoot pages out, don't they? And what happened is my job was of a high enough level of importance to get this information. They made sure that I had the newest computers available before they were on the market. So I had an IBM AT computer before it was even available on the market. Then I had a Pentium before it was on. All these computers, I had them before they were even available to the public because they were getting me the newest processors. And we went from a place where I have to run my program overnight to where I could just hit execute or control whatever letter, and it was done that quick. I mean, you might watch a few screens pass by, and it was done. I have some of those programs I wrote 25 years ago. I'm still running today. They used to take some time to run, and now it's like, how fast do you want to hit the letter? And so I spoke to my brother-in-law last night. He's a computer guru. He was telling me about computer performance, about there's more to it than just the megahertz or gigahertz it runs on and how all these things work together. And he says, do a search on computer performance versus the megahertz. And so I did that. And here we have a chart. I know you cannot probably read very much of it, but it's a performance chart regarding integer functions with a computer, showing advancements from 1985 through 2010. And to get it all on the chart, they had to use a logarithmic chart. And so from 1985, if they gave that a value of 1, in 2010, computers were running 2,000 times faster than they were in 1985. And if you go backwards to, say, the early 70s when the processors first came out to even 2017 today, it's probably closer and even beyond 10,000 times faster. Now, here's the point I want to make out of this. You're wondering, why is he talking about this, right? What used to take me all night to run because the computer could not obey me quick enough now was done in milliseconds. Do you follow me? So the work we can do with a computer now so overshadows what we could do 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And that computing ability, because the processors have been advanced, we can now complete chores that years ago would have taken probably months to do. I remember in college, back in the mid-70s, we'd do computer lab, and we'd take all these punch cards. We had to punch out the cards and take them in and run them overnight, run Fortran or whatever. And you'd come back the next day to get your printout. It took that long. Now, stuff we thought there were complex programs back in 1975 we were writing. You can do on your watch in a fraction of the time. The point being is, now what we can do with a computer is phenomenal. I mean, you can play Words with Friends now. You can do Facebook. All these important things, important applications of the computer, right? And so I believe in the same way, God wants to speed us up as information processors of His will. What does God want us to do? And now by faith, believe for the resources to come in quicker than ever before. Amen. I'm noticing this. I'm noticing this right now. The things that God's telling me to do, if I'll just step out and do it right away, the resources are already in place before I even finish it or get to the place I need it. Used to be, you know, we would believe, and it seemed like it would take forever for the person to be there, the need to be there, whatever. We started the community ambassadors back in the 1st of October. And that night, God showed me who all to assign to the positions. And we had all the people. And then I announced that Sunday, the next day, a daycare says, hey, we want to come and sublet from you and be part of your operation there. And things were just, and then the money's all coming. What's happening? Spuday is producing release from heaven for what you need, because God's accelerating things. And I believe He wants us to get beyond this old mindset of I have this long to get it done, and realize God wants it done now. And He wants speedy obedience. Now, it's amazing what we can do through a personal computer. But you're more complex than a personal computer. You understand that? The human mind, the human abilities, the AI that for you is not artificial, it's real intelligence. And God's smarter than you as a programmer. Think what God can do through us with speedy processing, speedy obedience. Understand, it still involves a discipline in doing spiritual activities and in completing spiritual assignments, right? Word time, prayer time, church time, divine order, covenant, walking in love. Those are all part of it. But the number one aspect of God's relationship with us is to hear His voice and do what He says to do. Do you follow me? Go over to 2 Peter. Second Peter in chapter 1, and this should help make this point. Verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us, oh, this whole passage is so good. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, walking in divine power, wisdom, and strength, right? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, you've escaped the natural, you're living out of the kingdom. And beside this, giving all spude, diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, agape. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it goes on in verse 10 and says, if you do these things, you'll never fall. I like that promise. So he says, I need you with spude to go from faith to virtue and virtue to temperance and temperance to knowledge, all the way through these eight steps unto love. And I call this God's stairway to agape. We just drew a stairway, right? This is another set of steps God wants us going through. And it deals with God developing you from being a natural person to a supernatural person, to walking out of human strength, out of walking out of supernatural love, to walking in supernatural love. And these are things that God will deal with you on in your walk with Him. I found of these eight things, God is dealing with me on all the time. What are you believing me for? What are you learning about the kingdom? How about your integrity level? How about your demonstrating the reflection of Jesus Christ, your godliness? How about brotherly kindness? What are you doing to bless other people? He's always challenging me in these areas. Why? Because he's trying to advance us up this stairway to agape to actually walk in the love and glory of God. And he says, I need you to do it with spude. Now, let me get a volunteer here. Let me think of somebody I can pick on. Come here, Tim. Come on, with spude. Stand right here. Now face that direction. I'm going to take you to the other carpet scene that's unraveled. Do you follow me?
Yep.
And we're going to go over there. And we're making our way to there. And okay, we just crossed this new step. Do you follow me? Did anybody time it? What do you think, about 10 seconds? Huh? 11? He did it at a normal ambling pace. But now say he's got the revelation of spude. I need to be quick to obey. If God's telling me to shift something in my life, let's do it rapidly. If he says I need knowledge, let's get in the Word. If there's something I need to confess, let's do it now. And now he's rapidly. Now we're talking about a third the time. Less. Thank you. So he made that step rapidly. What happens? Now he's positioned to make the next step. He's positioned to make, and he can get to the end goal of the glory much quicker. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. He's cutting short our advancement of the Word. He's accelerating our finishing of the prophetic declarations of God. But we've got to be quick to obey. And in the season I'm in, I think that's extremely important. You want a side note of something I learned last night? Talking to my brother-in-law, Jeff. He said they've made so many advancements in computer operations. One of the things they do is they link together processors. And he said it used to be when you're doing a computer operation, you'd have some kind of statement that says, if this operation produces this result, do this. But if it produces this result, do this. So you'd give this commandment and would go in, and the processor would have to then calculate what is the result, and then from that decide, okay, I do this, I take this path or that path. He says they don't do that anymore. They link together processors, and they say if this produces this result, we go this way. If it produces that result, we go that way. And they send the commandment to another processor who starts computing what's the result going to be. And this processor keeps determining the path for both answers. Let me clarify that. Let's say the question is, if the room is painted brown, carpet it blue. But if the room is painted green, carpet it red, whatever. And so something's got over there and can examine the color of the room, we're using this as an example, and pass that answer back to know what to do. Well, this compute processor over here is already computing all the next steps without ever having that answer. And that answer, when it comes back to this processor, it already knows what it's going to do next. It's accelerating the processing of information. And I believe God's doing that with us somewhat. He's got everything lined up for your next step. All you need to know is what to do, and it's all lined up, ready to go. Everything's in place to make the next step. What an exciting time to be in the kingdom of God. I have to say, I may be the most excited I have been, maybe ever, for what God's about to release to the church. Let's look at a few more verses. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How many know that's a vital verse to us, right? Through faith and patience, we inherit God's promises. But back up a verse. It says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same spude, diligence to the full assurance of hope, unto the end, that you be not slothful. In other words, this willingness to get off the couch and do what God tells you to do must be done quickly, especially in these end times. Your willingness to sow, to speak, to forgive must be done rapidly to get where God wants to take us. This willingness to change internally, everything He's wanting to shift within us, must be done rapidly. I believe it's important we grab these confession cards of Scripture and work the word into our life fast versus take our time. Why wait? See, here's an example of the thing I was talking about, the process of sharing information. Why wait till you're sick to work healing scriptures into your life? Why not work it in now so when a symptom comes, you already have the answer? It's already in place. You're doing things with spude. You're doing it with haste. You're staying ahead of the game. I remember years ago when Wayne Gretzky, I think it was before he was in professional hockey, and they were talking about him, and they were talking about his skill. And they said, most hockey players know where the puck is headed, and they attempt to be there. Wayne Gretzky knows where the puck's coming five passes from now, and he goes there. In other words, he processes all the possibilities of the hockey rink, and he goes to the most likely place he needs to be. Well, that's us. God's got us so prophetically in tune with what's going on, we're staying ahead of the game versus trailing. We have our resources, our word, everything. God's been building us for 25 years, 26 years as a ministry, to be prepared for what He's about to release. And now He wants us to be spooty about being ready to respond, ready to react, and don't let slip what we've already learned. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Are you getting anything out of this? In Romans chapter 12, we have a discussion about the seven motivational gifts given by God, seven different God birth personalities. Verse 6 is, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, with a prophecy let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with spude. Quick to put in place what God needs positioned. Right? The facilitators, moving things into position rapidly. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation or pretense. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave unto that which is good. Go to verse number 11. Not slothful in business. See the word business there? Spude. Now he's connecting us back to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Not slothful, but hasty in what we do. See, to get where we need to go, God's got to accelerate us. We've got to be so quick to hear and then quick to act. Well, I could miss it. God's bigger than our mistakes. And if you'll stay in divine order, God will protect you from some stupid things you might be tempted to do. Amen. In fact, I believe divine order is in place to a high level to allow us to accelerate. Amen. I rode in my youngest daughter's boyfriend's Tesla here last week. Wow. Amen. Had my oldest daughter screaming, "Slow down." That thing accelerates really quickly. But it's got an autopilot. He would put an address, he'd take his hands on the street, it would just drive straight to wherever. And if a car was in front, it would slow down, it would brake, it would do everything. And the autopilot, he got to drive, and in fact, it required him to touch a steering wheel now and then to make sure he was involved. But the autopilot would do all of it. God has got us in a position to get to some destinations at the shortest route, the quickest way, and we have the right to sit in the driver's seat, but he's going to pilot this thing where we need to go. We'll just give him control of it, right? Let's go one last verse, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes to the Galatian church, verse 7, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." A little leaven leaveneth the lump. He says, you were running. Now, how many know running requires haste? It involves haste, right? It involves moving quickly. And he says, you were in a position, let's just say spude, you were moving quickly, but something hindered you, and the hindrance is in the area of obeying the truth. I'm convinced this relationship with God that he's drawing us into deeper than ever before is the key to going into the glory and completing his assignment. But you've got to obey, respond, and be not slothful in what he's assigned you to do. Amen? Praise you, Jesus. Well, listen, I'm excited about the rest of today, what everybody's got to share. I believe it's going to be vital to us. I believe these are more than just little nice Bible messages to encourage us. These are prophetic messages to take us into where God has assigned us to go. Amen? Well, let's take about a...